Well, good afternoon to our listeners out there in the podcast world. We want to welcome you to the inaugural episode of The Fade Away. Just a little bit about ourselves. My name is David, and I'll be on with my brother Chris. He'll join us in just a minute. But we have a longtime love for the NBA, for the Mavericks especially. And we want to call this episode Free Agent Frenzy, as we just discuss, debate, argue a little bit, reach across our phones to punch each other with a little brotherly love, to talk about what's going on in the NBA free agency world. And so thanks for joining us for the fadeaway. Well, I think Chris is here. Chris, introduce yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I'm Chris, and just like he said, we're here to discuss the Mavericks free agency, and we have a little difference of opinion on varying topics when it comes to the Mavericks, but yeah, we can get into it.
All right, well, let's get into it. Why don't you start us off? We've got a lot of rumors out there, and we've got a lot of rumors from some of the people who say they're in the know, from everything from a little visit from Kawhi to a pretty good chance to sign Kimba to Patrick Beverley's out there. We've even heard a little bit out of Horford. But why don't you start us off? Tell us what you think about some of these rumors going on.
Well, it depends on who you follow and who you believe. Whether you want to follow the national media when it comes to Shams and Woj, or are we talking Mike Fisher, who's led us astray many times?
So yeah, let me throw a little word in there about Fish. I like Fish. He's watching a train wreck though. Sometimes I can't stop watching him. I can't stop listening to him. But I think I've heard. Now you're going to probably get into this about how the Mavs have let us down over the years. I'm beginning to think it may be a little bit of Fish letting us down and getting our hopes up more so than the Mavs. But we'll catch your opinion on that. Start off with a little Kyrie. That's obviously the dream scenario. A threesome of a Luka, KP. Which, by the way, let me say a little quick word about KP. Chris will not give you credit for signing KP. He says it's a trade. I think if we can give other teams credit for retaining their free agents, we got a little bit of credit for KP. That's another argument, though. But if we've got KP, we've got Luke, and we've got Kawhi, that's the favorites. That's the dream scenario. I'm giving us a 1% chance of that. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay, I give us a 0% chance. And the KP issue, my thinking on that is you traded away three starters and two or three first-round draft picks. For KP, if you weren't already certain that you were going to re-sign him, then you're an idiot, and you shouldn't own a team. You shouldn't run a team. You shouldn't be a GM of a team. And there is teams that do it.
Didn't that Jimmy Butler thing with Philadelphia?
But the teams that do it sign these guys to win a championship. He was hurt.
Okay.
So we're getting him for the future. It's a totally different situation.
All right. Well, we're signing him. Latest rumor is he's ready to sign at 5:01 on Sunday. So that's done. So let's move past that.
Okay.
So all right. So now do you agree that Kawhi makes us a favorite in the NBA?
I agree. But the problem is we've chased pipe dreams in the past. I've been disappointed. I've been brokenhearted in the past. DeAndre Jordan, Deron Williams, the list can go on and on.
We got to say, we did sign DeAndre Williams. DeAndre. And we did sign Deron Williams. So both things came to truth. So Fish didn't lead us too far. He just was about 4 years in advance of each one of them. But go ahead.
Right. And so we end up, you know, creating this cap space and end up not hitting and getting role players. So I believe if we try to, you know, when the clock strikes 5:01 and we try to start chasing Kawhi and talking to Kawhi, these free agents drop off the board pretty quick. It's just happened to us in the past that when we waited on Deron Williams, I think it was, you know, a day, and we missed out on a few. We waited on DeAndre Jordan. We missed out on a few. I don't think we need to wait. We need to get in and get out. So Kawhi, I say, is off limits. You don't touch him.
Don't touch him. Okay. So who, at 5:01, we're signing KP. 5:02, who we're talking about? Who we're talking?
So we're talking Kimba very quickly. Get in and speak to him. Right now I'm hearing rumors that he is that we're no longer the favorites, that Boston is the favorite for them. So, you know, it seems to be coming from Woj and Shams, which are very reliable sources. And to me, if they say Boston's a front runner, Boston's a front runner. That doesn't mean you don't try to talk to him, though.
All right. Now, David Lord just threw out a little something. He's threw out a little tidbit. His curiosity is this. Are they calling Boston the front runner? Because now Boston seems to have a roadmap to being able to create some space. So they just assume Boston's a favorite. Or is Boston the real favorite? I don't know if you saw that latest text. Little Twitter message out coming out from David Lord. But he just thinks that Boston's getting the benefit of the doubt because they do realize now they have a little bit of space. But we'll see. We'll see on Kemba. So Kemba is your top priority.
Absolutely. Right. I think with Kemba, we're an exciting team. We don't have to fully rely on Luka creating shots for everyone. Of course, you got mid-post game of KP, but you know, it gives another ball handler, another shot creator in the mix.
All right, so let's go together on that. So Kemba. Well, let's look at another name though, because I love the thought of Kemba, but I'm still questioning the fit. You know, and I think Kemba's a better off the ball player than this example, but we know how it worked with Dennis Smith wanting the ball and Luka deserving the ball. Didn't work well. So that we had to make some adjustments there. So I don't foresee it being the same issue, but I see there's some you got to work around having two primary ball
handlers. Absolutely, and I think the main difference between a Kemba and a Dennis Smith is Dennis Smith was trying to make a name for himself. Kemba doesn't need that. He's an all-star. He is an all-star that it was on a losing team. So I think he would take the less touches to be on a winning team, knowing that he has, you know, help.
All right. Well, let's move on a little bit. Let's move on to camp lockdown. Patrick Beverley. No response yet, but I did ask him directly via Twitter if he's going to bring camp lockdown to Dallas. But I like the fit of Patrick Beverley. Obviously, Kemba's a better player, but I love the fact that Patrick can handle the ball if he needed to, but that's not what he wants to do. He wants to lock up that best player, and he wants to hit that open three, which to me, there's no better fit for Luka. So talk to me a little bit about what you think about Patrick.
From what I'm seeing, you know, as soon as offseason starts, we got Luka and Patrick adding each other to Twitter. You got Patrick congratulating KP on the sign, and I believe that Patrick wants to be here. I believe the Mavericks want Patrick. I think he's a priority, and to me, that's the most realistic signing. It's a great fit, and I think we land them.
And here's another connection that I did not realize that maybe you know and I don't. Just saw this today, is that Patrick and Luka have the same agent. And apparently the agent loves the thought of two of his star players joining forces and think they'd be perfect fit together. So I like it. Well, if we just get Patrick though, you know, basically we gave up Harrison Barnes last year to create the space. We got Jackson from this trade.
And I don't believe really that. I don't believe Patrick and Jackson equal up to what Harrison could be. I don't like the way we utilized him. I don't like the way he played. His style was not fitting, but I also can see that being a coaching error. But that's
you and I disagree on that. I like our coach. I know you think there's some better usage here. I just think there's some players that through the course of their playing careers that their game is give me the ball and get out of the way. Which obviously with Luka and KP, we don't need that. So I don't know that Harrison was that fit. Maybe he could have been a 3-and-D type of player, but I think the things like Mashburn was give me the ball and get out of the way. Caron Butler, we experienced that. And unfortunately, Caron Butler got hurt. But fortunately, we had Sean Marion to take his place, and he became an off-the-ball player. He didn't need the ball to help his team. And so I think that's who we need. I think that's what Patrick is. I think Jackson could become that to a degree, obviously to a lesser degree as a role player. And but who in addition to Patrick makes you appreciative of trading HB last year at the trade deadline?
Al Horford. Al Horford is older. I don't like a four-year contract on him, but we're going to have to. I think he's going to be overpaid for what he brings at this stage of his career. But I think he's a good fit. He's a big body next to KP. He can extend the floor, 36% from three, good free throw shooter, and an elite level defender when it comes to the center position.
Okay. All right. Well, we haven't heard, we've heard this name just because he's from Dallas, but we've also heard people say Dallas isn't interested, and whether that's smokescreen and they really are, I don't know. But I like Julius Randle. I think if we came away with Patrick Beverly, well, let me first jump back. I'm in agreement with you. If we get Kemba and whoever else, if we get Kemba and whoever else, we're a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
But if we get Patrick and we get a quality starter with Patrick Beverly, I also like our chances. In fact, some ways, I like the balance of our team better with a Patrick Beverly and a quality starter than with Kemba. Depending on who else we got with Kemba, obviously.
And I don't believe we get anyone else with Kemba unless we may try to trade and sign and trade, which we're giving up a lot. I don't think the Mavericks want to give up their bench. I know they're in love with Dwight, Dorian, Maxey, and they will give it up, but I don't think they're wanting to go that route.
Okay. All right. Well, let's dream a little bit then. So I'm hearing you say ideal situation could be Patrick Beverly and Al Horford. But let's throw the player I was just talking about, and that's a Dallas native, Julius Randle. You know, he's more of a power forward size, but I like the fit because I think he has the game of a center. Again, with KP, I think we got a great matchup where we've got an undersized center and an oversized power forward. And I think we have the reverse in our backcourt where we've got an oversized point guard and undersized shooting guard. But I think in today's NBA, it not only fits, it's deadly. Tell me what you think about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's a bruiser, so he can play down low. And defensively, it's not as good as Al Horford, but you can switch in between the two and with KP and Julius, and you can make it work. You know, and switch it up on who one's guarding the center at one time, one's guarding the power forward, and vice versa. They kind of can interchange on, you know, guarding center versus power forward. So it's a good fit.
Okay.
He doesn't extend the floor quite as much as Al Horford does, in my opinion. He did have a good year shooting, but as far as creating his own shot and mid-post guy, he is fantastic. Running the floor, fantastic. Younger. He's more entertaining to watch. And the youth, you know, makes him more appealing. But as far as fit next to KP, I do lean towards Horford.
Oh, really? Surprising. Okay. Well, we'll see.
There were strong
people saying out there, it's a done deal with Dallas. And now we're here, and Dallas is not the done deal. So,
And I was leaning towards Julius at the beginning, and I've been going back and forth, and now I'm thinking Horford. I think just more the defense of Horford has led me to that direction.
All right. Well, let's say we end up being so I hear you saying Plan A is Kemba, and then whatever else we get. That's playing 1A, maybe playing 1B is Patrick and either Julius or Al Horford. So is that correct?
Yeah, and I absolutely. But that being said, it's my belief that Julius is going to the Lakers and that Al Horford is going to the Clippers and that Kemba is going to Boston.
Here's the problem. We keep saying that. Yes, but we're talking here, other than Kemba, second-tier free agents. And we can't – Clippers cannot get all the first-tier free agents and the second-tier. Lakers can't get all the first-tier and second-tier. Some of these guys have got to see the money in Dallas is just as good, and the opportunity with Luka and KP is there. So there's a lot of free agents out there, and some of these are slipping through. So, but if we say that happens and you think Patrick's coming and you don't think we're getting anybody else of great quality –
Well, I believe that we would have a shot at Brook Lopez. I think he's another great fit. Big body. I don't like him as well as Julius or Horford, but I think he would work. And Milwaukee has a lot of people to pay, and he may slip through the cracks. If he does, that's a win for us. But I would say that he's going to try to take less money to stay in Milwaukee. And then you're looking at you're going down the list of Nikola Mirotic, which is a 6'10" power forward that does not fit next to KP.
And who's he coming from? Where's he coming from? He's from Milwaukee as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he's played for the Bulls, I believe, where he was averaging 15, 16 a game. He got a lot less minutes for Milwaukee, and his game showed that. I think he had an average of 11 and 5 for Milwaukee. So his numbers fell off, and with less minutes, and but I think he would be a second or third tier, maybe even third tier type guy that will slip and that we can snag. And if we get Patrick Beverley and him, we're an approved team. But we're still soft in the center position.
Okay.
If you grab him, you're playing KP at center, and that is not ideal at all.
Okay. Well, I know that there's a lot of moving parts going on right now. And some players have not even – they have players they can release because they're restricted. So they can sign the big names. But they're going to hold on to them until they sign. And there's some other guys just trying to create some cap room. We've even heard the possibility of Houston unloading some of their guys. We can get into Capella on another time. Shot. Now we've even heard Oklahoma City trying to get rid of their center up there, Aquaman, Steven, what's his name?
Steven Adams.
Steven Adams. I think those are some guys that may fit next to KP. But then I don't know enough about to be able to say is Sacramento center.
Willie Cauley-Stein.
Okay. What do we got there? What do we got there?
I'll give you two names from Dallas that you can maybe put him somewhere right dab in the middle of. Tyson Chandler. No, New Orleans Noel. He'll be right in the middle.
All right. Well, you've given me two names that if you give me Tyson Chandler, he's tops on my list. He goes above to me. Horford. If you go give me
Noel. If Tyson is a 10 and New Orleans Noel is a 0, he's a 5.
All right. Well, you just realized this is where we got it. I'm about to reach through this phone and give you a little brother punch. You just gave me 99.9% of the centers in the NBA. They well, fit in between those two guys.
Okay,
that
I'm talking
tell me anything.
Talking about style wise.
Okay.
Can't shoot.
Okay.
Can't play basketball.
Can't. Gotcha.
Can defend a little bit. Can block little shots.
Okay.
Tyson Chandler played bigger than his size to me. He was thin, but he played strong.
He was strong.
New Orleans Noel is thin and plays weak. This guy is somewhere right in the middle. He's athletic, can, you know, catch alley-oops, cannot play the game of basketball when you're talking about shooting, dribbling. He doesn't have a great post defense like Tyson. It's more like New Orleans. He's softer, but he can block some shots. He's athletic. Can catch alley-oops. So that's why I'm putting him in that quarter.
You know, I don't like it. Except maybe if we just have to go with the three-headed monster at center, I think maybe we can work around that.
Okay, I don't think we have a three-headed monster at center.
Well, maybe monster is a bad word there.
Yeah. if you're including Dwight and Maxie in there, there's no monster at all in that.
Well, we also have our Luca's best buddy.
Sala.
Yeah. So we got some bodies. Maybe three-headed monster is not the right way, but we got bodies. Maybe he can be a body, but that's what that sounds like to me. Doesn't sound like much of an upgrade.
No, and then, you know, when you're looking, when you got, today's been disappointing to me. I'm looking at Woj talk about Kemba going to Boston. I saw, Horford going to the Clippers. You know, those are two, you know, that's new. I thought we was possibly the front runners on either or.
Right.
It looks like we're second or third on either or now.
Okay.
And so, and then, you know, when I, hear someone say, I think it was Townsend, that we're interested in Cheick Diallo, or however you want to say his name. That's now we're talking, you know, fourth, fifth tier type player.
Well, I'm ready to check that one off my list. The only thing I want to check on that. Okay. Well, we need to wrap this up. We're getting close to an end. So just a quick summary. I will say this. I think with Luke and KP, future's bright. This is a big summer. It's a big week. We'll know more at this time next week. And we'll follow up with today's a little bit of a free agent frenzy. Next week will be a free agent fallout. We'll discuss it a little bit. Right now, I'm saying we have one of the top five duos in the league, possibly top three when we're talking about a young duo in the league, or maybe even top two. I think right now, until otherwise, Philly has the top young duo in the league. Lakers have the top overall duo in the league. We're right there. We're right in that mix for both of them. I'd love to say this time next week we have one of the top big threes in the league. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I think either score of Kimber or Horford, you put a top three. I know Horford isn't exciting, and it doesn't seem like it's going to do that much for us, but I believe it will. Same thing with Julius Randle. I think either or, you have a huge top three.
And then Patrick. I got to tell you, I think my dream scenario is right here. I think if we could end up with this starting lineup, Patrick Beverley and Luka, KP and Julius Randle or Horford. I'm kind of interchangeable there. I've got some pros and cons for both. But one name that's out there that Utah just let go to create some space could be on the open market soon as an old buddy of ours. In fact, I think we sent him to Boston years back. A little small forward, big small forward. Second round pickup, great pick we made. Nobody made much about it. But unfortunately, we traded him for a point guard that we thought was an all-star. Help me with this guy's name.
Jay Crowder.
Jay, I think if we could get a Jay Crowder type, a small forward, along with a Patrick Beverley and a Horford, I think we've got some D. I think we've got some shooting. And obviously, with Luke and KP, we got some exciting playmakers.
Well, now you brought up something that is so frustrating to me about the Mavericks.
What's that?
Jay Crowder. It is now. I would have to go back and check who said it. It was Townsend, or could have been Tim McMahon. We have no interest in Jay Crowder. And the reason that's so frustrating to me is because we are so focused on defense right now. You know, Cuban said Dorian's untouchable. Cuban said Maxey was untouchable. That they were going to definitely be re-signed in their defense. And Dorian is an absolute poor man, non-shooting version of Jay Crowder.
Okay. Well, he's about $1.5 million a year versus $10 million a year. So, keep that in mind.
And he's about a 30% shooter to a 40% shooter.
You're right.
When you come and the skill level makes a big difference to me. And I believe you said 1 million. I'll send you some stats that the prediction is he is a 3 for 22 this year.
I'm passing on that. So yeah, we'll see.
I read that earlier today that's what it will take to keep him. I know we, you know, signed his restriction as they believe 1.8 million, but that's not going to keep him. They think it's 3 for 22. And
I'm out on that. But yeah. Now, one more thought on Jay Crowder before we move along, because we got to keep this down to about 30 minutes. We're at 26 right now. Is when we drafted Jay Crowder, no one thought anything about him. We hoped he may be a 3-and-D. I know you did not like our draft, but what if our guy that we just drafted turns into a Jay Crowder type?
I'll be pleasantly surprised, and I'll eat my words.
All right, we'll see. Let's see how that goes.
Because he is historically he shot 20% his freshman year from the 3-point line. He went up to 40%, which is very good, his sophomore year, and it was back down to 33% for his junior year, bringing his average of 31% from the three-point line. That's a college three-point line. And his shot doesn't look bad, his form, so maybe it's correctable. But overall, he's 67% from the free throw line. He is just not a natural shooter at all. I know that some can improve. Look at Jason Kidd. But, you know, those are, you know, if you're a bad shooter, you're a bad shooter. You can improve, but I don't see, you know, if you're only looking for a 3-and-D guy and you draft a guy that can't do the three, you're missing out on, you know, half the formula right there.
Yeah, yeah, I got it. I got it there. All right, well, that probably brings us to an end of our first inaugural episode of The Fadeaway with Chris and David Peacock. And we thank you for joining us. And have a blessed day. And we'll see you next week with Free Agent Fallout. Any closing words?
I think you summed it up.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye.